Third iteration. Details emerge more clearly as the fractal curve is redrawn. Ian Malcolm. Jurassic Park. They moved into a green tunnel of overarching palms, leading toward the main visitor building. Everywhere, extensive and elaborate planting emphasized the feeling that they were entering a new world, a prehistoric tropical world, and leaving the normal world behind. Ellie said to Grant, "They look pretty good." "Yes," Grant said. "I want to see them up close. I want to lift up their toe pads and inspect their claws and feel their skin and open their jaws and have a look at their teeth. Until then, I don't know for sure, but yes, they look good." "I suppose it changes your field a bit," Malcolm said. Grant shook his head. "It changes everything," he said. For 150 years, ever since the discovery of gigantic animal bones in Europe, the study of dinosaurs had been an exercise in scientific deduction. Paleontology was essentially detective work, searching for clues in the fossil bones and the trackways of the long-vanished giants. The best paleontologists were the ones who could make the most clever deductions. And all the great disputes of paleontology were carried out in this fashion, including the bitter debate, in which Grant was a key figure, about whether dinosaurs were warm-blooded. Scientists had always classified dinosaurs as reptiles, cold-blooded creatures drawing the heat they needed for life from the environment. A mammal could metabolize food to produce bodily warmth, but a reptile could not. Eventually, a handful of researchers, led chiefly by John Ostrom and Robert Baker at Yale, began to suspect that the concept of sluggish, cold-blooded dinosaurs was inadequate to explain the fossil record. In classic deductive fashion, they drew conclusions from several lines of evidence. First was posture. Lizards and reptiles were bent-legged sprawlers, hugging the ground for warmth. Lizards didn't have the energy to stand on their hind legs for more than a few seconds, but the dinosaurs stood on straight legs, and many walked erect on their hind legs. Among living animals, erect posture occurred only in warm-blooded mammals and birds. Thus, dinosaur posture suggested warm-bloodedness. Next, they studied metabolism, calculating the pressure necessary to push blood up the 18-foot-long neck of a brachiosaur, and concluding that it could only be accomplished by a four-chambered, hot-blooded heart. They studied trackways, fossil footprints left in mud, and concluded that dinosaurs ran as fast as a man. Such activity implied warm blood. They found dinosaur remains above the Arctic Circle in a frigid environment unimaginable for a reptile. And the new studies of group behavior, based largely on Grant's own work, suggested that dinosaurs had a complex social life and reared their young, as reptiles did not. Turtles abandoned their eggs, but dinosaurs probably did not. The warm-blooded controversy had raged for 15 years. Before a new perception of dinosaurs as quick-moving, active animals was accepted, but not without lasting animosities. At conventions, there were still colleagues who did not speak to one another. But now, if dinosaurs could be cloned, why, Grant's field of study was going to change instantly. The paleontological study of dinosaurs was finished. The whole enterprise, the museum halls with their giant skeletons and flocks of echoing schoolchildren, the university laboratories with their bone trays, the research papers, the journals, all of it was going to end. "You don't seem upset," Malcolm said. Grant shook his head. "It's been discussed in the field. Many people imagined it was coming, but not so soon." "Story of our species," Malcolm said, laughing. "Everybody knows it's coming, but not so soon." As they walked down the path, they could no longer see the dinosaurs, but they could hear them, trumpeting softly in the distance. Grant said, "My only question is, where'd they get the DNA?"